errand. In a very short space of time, Anne came flying back up the lane with tears rolling down her cheeks. Into the kitchen, she dashed and flung herself face downwards on the sofa in an agony. "Whatever has gone wrong now, Anne?" queried Marilla, in doubt and dismay. "I do hope you haven't gone and been saucy to Mrs. Lynde again." "No," answer from Anne, save more tears and stormier sobs. "Anne Shirley, when I ask you a question, I want to be answered. Sit right up this very minute and tell me what you are crying about." Anne sat up, tragedy personified. Mrs. Lynde was up to see Mrs. Barry today, and Mrs. Barry was in an awful state, she wailed. "She says that I set Diana drunk Saturday and sent her home in a disgraceful condition. And she says I must be a thoroughly bad, wicked little girl. And she's never, never going to let Diana play with me again. Oh, Marilla, I'm just overcome with woe." Marilla stared in blank amazement. "Set Diana drunk," she said, when she found her voice. "Anne, are you or Mrs. Barry crazy? What on earth did you give her?" "Not a thing but raspberry cordial," sobbed Anne. "I never thought raspberry cordial would set people drunk, Marilla. Not even if they drank 3 big tumblerfuls, as Diana did." "It sounds so like Mrs. Thomas's husband. But I didn't mean to set her drunk." "Drunk fiddlesticks," said Marilla, marching to the sitting room pantry. There on the shelf was a bottle, which she at once recognized as one containing some of her 3-year-old homemade currant wine, for which she was celebrated in Avonlea. Although certain of the stricter sort, Mrs. Barry among them, disapproved strongly of it. And at the same time, Marilla recollected that she had put the bottle of raspberry cordial down in the cellar instead of in the pantry, as she had told Anne. She went back to the kitchen with the wine bottle in her hand. Her face was twitching in spite of herself. "Anne, you certainly have a genius for getting into trouble. You went and gave Diana currant wine instead of raspberry cordial. Didn't you know the difference yourself?" "I never tasted it," said Anne. "I thought it was the cordial. I meant to be so hospitable. Diana got awfully sick and had to go home. Mrs. Barry told Mrs. Lynde she was simply dead drunk. She just laughed silly-like when her mother asked her what was the matter and went to sleep and slept for hours. Her mother smelled her breath and knew she was drunk. She had a fearful headache all day yesterday. Mrs. Barry is so indignant. She will never believe but what I did it on purpose. I should think she would better punish Diana for being so greedy as to drink 3 glassfuls of anything," said Marilla shortly. "Why, 3 of those big glasses would have made her sick, even if it had only been cordial." "Well, this story will be a nice handle for those folks who are so down on me for making currant wine. Although I haven't made any for 3 years, even since I found out that the minister didn't approve. I just kept that bottle for sickness. There, 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 child. Don't cry. I can't see as you were to blame, although I'm sorry it happened so. I must cry, said Anne. My heart is broken. The stars in their courses fight against me, Marilla. Diana and I are parted forever. Oh, Marilla, I little dreamt of this when first we swore our vows of friendship. Don't be foolish, Anne. Mrs. Barry will think better of it when she finds you're not really to blame. I suppose she thinks you've done it for a silly joke or something of that sort. You'd best go up this evening and tell her how it was. My courage fails me at the thought of facing Diana's injured mother, sighed Anne. I wish you'd go, Marilla. You're so much more dignified than I am. Likely she'd listen to you quicker than to me. Well, I will, said Marilla, reflecting that it would probably be the wiser course. Don't cry any more, Anne. It'll be all right. Marilla had changed her mind about it being all right by the time she got back from Orchard Slope. Anne was watching for her coming and flew to the porch door to meet her. Oh, Marilla, I know by your face that it's been no use, she said sorrowfully. Mrs. Barry won't forgive me. Mrs. Barry, indeed, snapped Marilla. Of all the unreasonable women I ever saw, she's the worst. I told her it was all a mistake, and you weren't to blame. But she just simply didn't believe me. And she rubbed it well in about my currant wine, and how I'd always said it couldn't have the least effect on anybody. I just told her plainly that currant wine wasn't meant to be drunk 3 tumblerfuls at a time, and that if a child I had to do with was so greedy, I'd sober her up with a right good spanking. Marilla whisked into the kitchen, grievously disturbed, leaving a very much distracted little soul in the porch behind her. Presently, Anne stepped out bareheaded into the chill autumn dusk. Very determinedly and steadily, she took her way down through the sere clover field over the log bridge, and up through the spruce grove, lighted by a pale little moon hanging low over the western woods. Mrs. Barry, coming to the door in answer to a timid knock, found a white-lipped, eager-eyed suppliant on the doorstep. Her face hardened. Mrs. Barry was a woman of strong prejudices and dislikes, and her anger was of the cold, sullen sort which is always hardest to overcome. To do her justice, she really believed Anne had made Diana drunk out of sheer malice prepense, and she was honestly anxious to preserve her little daughter from the contamination of further intimacy with such a child. What do you want? She said stiffly. Anne clasped her hands. Oh, Mrs. Barry, please forgive me. I did not mean to intoxicate Diana. How could I? Just imagine if you were a poor little orphan girl that kind people had adopted, and you had just one bosom friend in all the world. Do you think you would intoxicate her on purpose? I thought it was only raspberry cordial. I was firmly convinced it was raspberry cordial. Oh, please don't say that you won't let Diana play with me anymore. If you do, you will cover my life with a dark cloud of woe. This speech which would have softened good Mrs. Lynde's heart in a twinkling, had no effect on Mrs. Barry, except to irritate her still more. She was suspicious of Anne's big words and dramatic gestures, and imagined that the child was making fun of her. So she said coldly and cruelly, "I don't think you are a fit little girl for Diana to associate with. You'd better go home and behave yourself." Anne's lips quivered. "Won't you let me see Diana just once to say farewell?" she implored. "Diana has gone over to Carmody with her father," said Mrs. Barry, going in and shutting the door. Anne went back to Green Gables, calm with despair. "My last hope is gone," she told Marilla. "I went up and saw Mrs. Barry myself, and she treated me very insultingly. Marilla, I do not think she is a well-bred woman. There is nothing more to do except to pray, and I haven't much hope that that'll do much good. Because, Marilla, I do not believe that God himself can do very much with such an obstinate person as Mrs. Barry." "Anne, you shouldn't say such things," rebuked Marilla, striving to overcome that unholy tendency to laughter, which she was dismayed to find growing upon her. And indeed, when she told the whole story to Matthew that night, she did laugh heartily over Anne's tribulations. But when she slipped into the east gable before going to bed, and found that Anne had cried herself to sleep, an unaccustomed softness crept into her.